It's time to take the quiz.
5 questions, 5 minutes a day, 5 days a week.
Take the quiz every weekday at thequiz.fox and then listen to the quiz podcast to find out how you did.
Play, share, and of course, listen to the quiz at thequiz.fox.
This is Lighthouse Faith Podcast, Moving Forward in Truth and Love. I'm Lauren Green, Chief Religion Correspondent for Fox News Channel and author of the book Lighthouse Faith. Well, the Black Church in America was once the political and spiritual powerhouse of America, and certainly Black America. It is where Black Americans enjoyed freedoms they did not have in the outside world. It is also where the pent-up emotions, frustrations, and fears had an outlet and a relief in the arms of the Savior that they worshiped. And yet things are changing. Young Black Americans are not as church-centered as the generations before them, and they are less likely to pray or say faith is important in their lives. And these findings are part of a new survey on the Black Church in America that was just released by the Pew Forum. Dr. Bashir Mohammed is one of the lead researchers, and he joins me now. Welcome, Dr. Mohammed. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you so much for having me.
So what are kind of the big takeaways from this survey?
So, you know, the study is really rich and there's a lot of interesting stories to tell. But there's one in particular, I think, that's worth telling about the Black Church and its role. We see two things that I think many people would at first consider contradictory or sort of in tension. On the one hand, we see that the majority of Black Americans who attend religious services at all, about 6 in 10, say that they go to a congregation where both the leaders and the majority of the members are Black or African American. On the other hand, most Black Americans, including those who go to Black churches, say that they feel that congregations that have historically been Black should work to diversify rather than maintaining their traditional racial character. And also, they say that if they were looking for a new congregation, the race of the pastor, the race of the other congregants are not high priorities. And so on the one hand, we see many Black Americans going to Black churches. On the other hand, we see them saying that it's not about race. There are other things that are drawing them.
Well, certainly, you know, the cultural aspects of the cultural traditions of the Black Church really is what draws people there. There is a shared experience there that you don't get with, you know, it's, we say, quote, white churches, right?
Absolutely. And that's what our respondents tell us. They tell us that there are differences both in the style of worship and in the content of the sermons. If you talk about the style of worship, for example, a call and response type of interaction is almost universal in Black congregations. And in other congregations, in congregations where whites or some other group of the majority, there's still that some of that, but it's much less common. The same is true for a number of Pentecostal practices. So, speaking in tongues, sort of dancing or shouting or sort of various movements are much more common in Black congregations than in congregations of whites or other groups of the majority. And so that's one aspect is the style of worship. But the other is really the content of the sermons. Blacks who go to Black churches are much more likely to say that they hear sermons about racism or race relations. Mm-hmm. They're much more likely to say they hear sermons about voting, political protests, political engagement, and much more likely to say they hear sermons about things like criminal justice reform than people who go to white or other race congregations. So those are the difference both in the style and in the content.
Yeah. And the idea that we are much more comfortable worshiping in the same religion with the same race of people tells you something about America that is something a lot of people really don't want to face, which is that there are these racial differences and there are these divides within our country that are still very, very prominent today.
Absolutely. We asked, for example, a series of questions about discrimination. You know, have you personally experienced discrimination? And we asked those questions about in religious spaces and in non-religious spaces. And we see that Black Americans, you know, are much less likely to say that they're experiencing these sorts of acts of discrimination in religious spaces. And so one of the things that they're finding there is sort of a safe space in that way.
Yeah. Do you think, you know, because I grew up in a Black church and I understand the, you know, even though it was considered to be sort of more of a very conservative Black church, not like the lot of the music and like a Baptist church mm-hmm. or something. It was like the AME church, but very
Methodist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And do you think that the community outside the Black church understands the cultural significance of the Black church? I mean, because when you go to a white church, let's just say that, you know, like I grew up in Minnesota, so you would say, you know, like a Lutheran church or something like that. Do you think they understand that they're worshiping at a white church? And, you know, I mean, that's really the problem there, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think, well, I mean, to be honest, one of the hopes in doing a study like this is to help people to see that, to see that the ways in which the Black churches are distinctive, the ways in which Black people, at least many Black people, engage with their religious experiences are distinctive. That's one of the values of a sort of purpose-built study designed on this topic, right, is that we can probe questions like this. For example, you know, we asked Black respondents whether they think, you know, what role they think Black churches played in helping Blacks move toward equality. And we asked about Black churches. We asked about Black Muslim organizations. We asked about white churches. We asked about the federal government. We asked about a whole wide range of topics. And Black churches are up there quite high, something like 8 in 10 Blacks, regardless of whether or not they personally go to a Black church or any church.
Yeah.
Say that, look, Black churches played a role in helping us get to equality.
Right. Right. They were the fuel and the engine really behind the civil rights movement.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't see that same view when people are talking about white churches. You know, very few people said that white churches really played a role in helping Blacks move toward equality. Now, you know, civil rights organizations, of course, also got even more credit. Right? You know, people, they're not saying civil rights movements didn't matter, but Black churches were sort of front and center in that movement, and Black Americans continue to remember that and realize that.
You know, one of the things that is different in a lot of the things that are going on today, you know, for the protests is, and this is what's brought up by, when I talked to T.D. Jakes, Bishop T.D. Jakes, and he said, you know, the civil rights movement, you know, we were singing our songs, our hymns, you know, during the civil rights movement, and there's that part of it's missing. And you see that in your study that the younger Black Americans do not have that faith as their foundation. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So we see younger Black Americans, like younger folks across races, are less religious by a whole wide range of measures. So if you look at specifically millennials or Gen Z among Black Americans, they're much less religious than older Blacks, although still more religious than their peers, than their white or other race peers.
Interesting.
So they are more religious than their peers of other races, but certainly less religious than older Blacks. So that's one way in which we see younger Blacks kind of moving away from the Black church. But that's not all of it. So part of it is that they're less likely to go to any congregation.
Yeah.
But those that do go to a congregation are more likely to go to a congregation that's predominantly white or some other group is a majority than were older Blacks. So you see movement in two directions away from the Black church, both because they're moving away from church at all and also because they're moving toward churches where other groups are the majority.
Yeah. I want to take a break right now here on Lighthouse Faith Podcast and talk a little bit more about the Black church and also just kind of where it's going. We'll be right back with more on Lighthouse Faith Podcast.
I'm Charles Payne. Listen to my Unstoppable Prosperity podcast so I can get you making money right now. Whether stocks are hitting new all-time highs or in free-fall mode, opportunities abound. So why are so many potential investors still sitting on the sidelines? In a new season of my podcast, I'm going to get you in the game. After 38 years on Wall Street, I'm ready to impart some lessons and get you invested in the greatest wealth-generating machine in history. Listen anytime, everywhere at foxbusinesspodcast.com or wherever you listen to your favorite podcast.
Okay, we are back on Lighthouse Faith Podcast talking with Dr. Bashir Muhammad about the recent Pew study about the Black church in America and just the powerhouse it always has been. But the fact of the matter is we're kind of in a transitional phase right now that we're looking at, you know, what the Black church actually built, but are they as invested in going forward? And what is your take on, you know, as we go forward, as the Black church, all of the, the stalwarts of the civil rights movement and the faces of the civil rights movement, I mean, we just lost John Lewis, and thinking about how the Black church is going to play a role in the future and whether it will be the same kind of role.
So most Black Americans say that they think that the Black church has less influence now than it did, say, 50 years ago. And they're split on how they feel about that. There are very few, only about 10% of Black adults that say that they want the church to have even less influence than it has now. Mm-hmm. But there's divided pretty evenly between people who say that the amount of influence the church has now is good, let's continue on in this level, or that say that, no, we want the church to have more influence going forward. So there's this split between folks who think that the church should have more influence going forward and who think that the level of influence that it has now, although it's less than it had in the past, is enough, is sufficient for the current day.
One of the things that I remember reading a book about Dietrich Bonhoeffer, and Dietrich Bonhoeffer is a German pastor and theologian from, you know, the early 20th century, you know, like around 1939 and beyond. But one of the things that he came over here studying theology at Union Theological Seminary, rather. And one of the things he noticed was that he felt the white churches were very, very almost separated from their actual gospel. I mean, there was kind of this cursory kind of, by rote kind of worship. And then he went into the Black church and he was totally, totally blown away by the Black churches, that there was emotion, that there was a connection to the gospel, that there was this, you know, this faith that just transcended their lives. And that is what has been the power behind the Black church. Why doesn't that happen today? Why is that sort of waning today?
So, I mean, it's hard to really, I think there are a lot of factors as to sort of the shifts in the role of the Black church now versus in the past. But I think one thing that we definitely see is even outside of the church itself, many Black Americans do infuse their lives with faith, with religion. The vast majority say that they believe in God or some higher power. Many of them, for example, say that when they're making major life decisions, they rely heavily on prayer and personal reflection. Mm-hmm. And also their view of religion is infused with their expectations and their views and their perceptions of what's going on in the world. So, for example, about three quarters say that opposing racism is essential to what it means to be Christian. Mm-hmm. Right. Nearly as many say opposing sexism is essential to what it means to be Christian. So these things are not quite as high as belief in God. 85-90% say belief in God is essential. But the next set of things are these. things like attending religious services are much lower on their, like, how important is this to what being Christian means to you? So their view of Christianity, their take on Christianity is not one that's sort of bound to, well, I need to go to church and, like, that's mm-hmm. what it means to be a good Christian, is I show up every day or show up every week. It's these other things. It's opposing racism, opposing sexism. Sure. These are sort of core aspects of what it means to be Christian, or for non-Christians, what it means to, you know, for whatever their faith is.
It's very interesting because, you know, you look at Martin Luther King Jr. and you look at his letter from a Birmingham jail, and, you know, here he's a Christian pastor, and he's talking to, white Christians who are, you know, part of the KKK and everything, is that he understood that in order to be, to obliterate the racism that they were experiencing, that they had to go deeper into their faith. And that's what he called them to do, because only at this deeper level of the gospel could they actually obliterate racism. And so he looked at the gospel as foundational to those issues, of solving those issues. And then that's really a difference in generations of understanding what the church is actually there for.
I think this idea that that's what the church is for, there's some differences in generation, but I would say that this idea about what faith is for, and that faith is really for these things, is transcends generations in our study. Although attendance of religious services and these other things do drop off as you look at the younger generations, this view of religion, of faith being about addressing these social issues is equally important across generations.
Very interesting. Very interesting. I wanted to talk a little bit more about just sort of this idea of the racial reconciliation, and this idea that this is part of, you know, what it's going to take to kind of bring up. And I know you're not a theologian. I know you're not, you know, you're not a pastor. But the idea that racial reconciliation, what does that mean? And does it mean that, you know, you abandon really, you know, this idea of this cultural Black church and white churches in order to really be a foundational understanding of the gospel? And I think there are theologians actually calling for that. Whereas, you know, over this the last year, you've got a lot of some of the white churches actually, you know, really getting on their hands and knees and really saying, you know, we despair of this racism that we've been a part of, you know, that we've been, you know, part and parcel to. And so will it take, you know, the Black churches doing the same in terms of we have to forgive this sort of racism and systemic racism that's been a part of this country, you know, that only together these two things can work. I mean, do you see any indication that there's something moving towards that?
Well, I think one sort of indicator in that direction is this idea that going to a church where the leadership is Black and where the congregation is Black is not about racial exclusion, right? And so we had these sort of close-coded questions about, you know, should these historically Black congregations diversify? And like I said, even people who are going to these congregations say no, we should be open. We should move toward including other racial and ethnic groups. Mm-hmm. But another aspect to this, so we did a large survey, but we also did a series of focus groups where we let people speak sort of in their own words, really sort of in more nuance about these experiences.
Yeah.
And there, you know, we heard some of the same things you're talking about. For example, you know, there was one person in particular, African-American man who went to an AME Zion church. Mm-hmm. So historically Black Protestant denomination.
Right.
And, you know, we were talking about, you know, the Black church and going to a Black church. And he pushed back and he said, I don't go to a Black church. I wouldn't say I go to a Black church.
Hmm.
I go to a predominantly Black church, but, and I want to make sure I get his exact wording right. He said, but if you say to me, you know, that's a Black church, it sounds like you're saying it's a racial thing. And in God's eye, he doesn't care what color you are as long as you go.
Right, right.
And so he was really pushing back on this idea that, you know, if I go to this this congregation, if I go to this AME church, I'm being exclusionary. I'm really sort of creating a racial boundary. Because really he's saying, look, you know, this isn't about that.
Yeah. Well, I think one of the, and I totally get that, you know, because, you know, the idea that you're saying it's a white church or it's a black church or it's an Asian church, you're saying, okay, it's predominantly that race. But the difference is when you say that this is the best way to worship God, if you're a Christian, that becomes an exclusive kind of claim that has no part of the gospel. You know, the fact that, you know, Lutherans can sing, you know, four-part harmony hymns from, you know, Martin Luther is great. And then a black church can sing really, you know, swinging, you know, blues kind of gospel tunes is like an emotional kind of outlet for them. That's great. But to say that those are only, that you can only sing those if that, and say that's the true worship, that becomes a problem. Mm-hmm. But the other thing that is our challenge, though, and then I know Pew has done this study, it's saying that your race is, you know, as powerful as faith is in this world, as should be, or that as powerful as religion is, your race is the number one indicator of how you're going to vote in a political vote, and religion is a very distant second. And so what that says to me is that there's a long way for us to go to racial reconciliation if that's what we're headed.
Yeah, you know, we definitely see that race is a powerful indicator of a whole host of political and social views. You know, like you said, we've done those sorts of studies, and we do see time and time again that's a driver. And you know, that's regardless of whether or not people say that they're very religious, you still sort of see these patterns. Sort of, if you just look at the numbers, you see these patterns by racial group that are pretty stark.
Yeah, you know, if you could give the sort of, you know, the 30-second takeaway, in your study, what would it be? What would it be?
I mean, I think the 30-second takeaway, is something to the idea that, you know, black congregations are still really sort of alive and well in the U.S. today. Most black Americans are going to them, but with two caveats. One is that the people who go to them don't see them and don't intend them to be exclusionary. Mm-hmm. And older folks are much more likely to be going to them than younger folks. So I think those are two sort of important caveats to a general pattern that we see that black congregations are definitely continue to play a sizable role in the black communities.
Yeah. And then of course, you know, it's following along with other races and other groups, you know, just it's an age thing. It's a generational thing that they're all kind of falling away. From organized religion. And that's, you know, cut across racial lines. So we see that a lot. Dr. Bashir Mohammed, I want to thank you so much for being on Lighthouse Faith Podcast. And if people want to actually read the full study, where do they go?
Pewresearch.org. Right there on the front page, you should be able to see the full report, which is almost 200 pages, and then like a sort of one or two page summary of a few of the key findings that you can also get. They can also follow me on Twitter, B-Moham, and I sort of tweet about some of the work that we've done. I'll be sort of highlighting some of the key findings in the coming weeks and months.
Well, great. Thank you so much. I really appreciate you talking about this study on Lighthouse Faith Podcast, and I hope that people will go to the website and follow you on Twitter and get some more insights and, you know, to really kind of take it to heart of what's really happening and how they play a part and, you know, help or heal the sort of racial divide that's in this world today, in this country today. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
And this is Lauren Green. Thank you for listening to Lighthouse Faith Podcast. Have a blessed day.
Listen to the all-new Brett Baer podcast featuring Common Ground, in-depth talks with lawmakers from opposite sides of the aisle, along with all your Brett Baer favorites like his all-star panel and much more. Available now at foxnewspodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.